Good evening, everyone. Everyone all right? Good. Just about, yeah. But we'll get to that later on. So I just wanted to reiterate what Andrew said earlier, that over the past spring term, a group of us have been bravely taken on by him to do a preaching course. So if it all goes south, you know who to blame. No, seriously, it's a great honour to stand here and to share God's word with you. But I'm aware that many of you may not know who I am, or you may have seen me about and never thought, who is this person? But I'll just share a little bit about what I am. On Monday, I started a new job working for the EU at the university, where I'm involved in finding the optimum health and nutrition for new mothers and children. So looking at how all across Europe these children can be brought up to be healthy adults and how the mothers can stay healthy. And that's part-time, and the rest of my time is spent doing some independent research also into women and how sunlight, which we've got today, how sunlight can keep you healthy. So please pray that that goes well for me over the next few years. But that's what I am. Who I am is someone completely different. Who I am is someone that seeks to affirm that Christ's resurrection can help change our daily lives, and it can help affect our community. Our mission statement as a church is to be a loving community of God's life-changing presence. Now, often I've heard of that and I thought, it's a community, it's difficult to kind of see yourself as an individual to be a part of that change and be that presence. So I long to be an individual that kind of inspires and encourages others to take part in that community so that we together can be that change. But moving on, I'm here to share God's word. So I'm going to look at two different Bible passages and hopefully draw from them an active Christianity, a vibrant, moving Christianity that we can all engage in, and something that's available to us all, as long as we are open and receptive enough to God to allow it to change our lives. So if you've got Bibles, if you haven't, there are actually some at the back, feel free to go and grab one. But if you've got one, the first reading will be from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And the second reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. That's Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. This is the baptism of Jesus, which ties in nicely with this morning. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So I have decided to kind of talk about feet for various reasons. Firstly, I like to walk a lot. If ever any of you know me, I'm always walking about most places. And during these times that I walk around, I've had many thoughts whizzing through my head of what I could talk about. And after writing some thoughts down over the past few weeks, after reading my Bible, and whilst I was away the other week, I heard a band that had a song called Hands. I decided to call this talk Feet. And it kind of ties in as well with what Andrew was talking about this morning, which was nice, about walking with the Holy Spirit. So that kind of confirmed for me that it would have some kind of depth and hopefully have some flow from this morning to this evening. But let's all discover together, what is a beloved son? What is a beloved daughter? And how can we become that which God longs for us to be? Now, first of all, why feet? For me, they can provide us with a visual representation of God's work in us. Not just in us, but also through us. And by this, I aim to focus particularly on the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And to start, like the Holy Spirit in my life, my feet also can be neglected. For example, when I shower, I don't know about any of you, but I like to hit the snooze button one too many times. So I wake up in the morning a bit late and hop into the shower, start washing off, and generally my feet are the last part, if they get washed at all. I mean, the water kind of runs down, you think, it should be all right, they'll wash themselves. So I admit, for someone who walks about so much, for someone that uses my feet on a daily basis, I take very little care of them. So I just want to take this moment, this time, for you all to sit and just think, is there a part of you, perhaps a great part of you, that you neglect? Is there some aspect of your life, somewhere that God is working in you in a great and powerful way that you fail to fully appreciate? Perhaps you can wake up in the morning and you just feel chirpy. You don't need any caffeine at all. And you're just vibrant. And perhaps you have unbelievable amounts of self-control. So just think, is there somewhere where God has really blessed you in the aspects of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness? I'm reminded of a story. Two American salesmen, they sell shoes. And it's the 19th century. And these two shoe salesmen, they go to Africa. And they land there. And they look around and they survey Africa. And what happens is, in the 19th century, they send telegrams back. I think they had telegrams in the 19th century. But they send messages back to America. And one of them has the attitude of, abandon all hope. It's hopeless. None of them have shoes here. And the second person goes, great news, send everything you have. No one's got any shoes. Now, what's the difference between these two people? They both encounter the same situation, but they have different ways of responding to it. So how do you respond to the potential that God has for you? Perhaps this is one of your first times in church, and you are unaware completely that God has potential for you and has a plan for your life. Now, I don't want to instill a sense of pride in yourself. I'm not some self-help tutor, but I do want you to know that God is doing great things in each one of you, and if he's not, then please know that he can. Through those gifts that I mentioned earlier, if you're willing to let him, he can use these and really transform your life. Now, I know Andrew, if he ever mentions his daughters in a sermon, he says that he has said that he will give them some financial compensation. Now I'm going to mention my dad. And I'm kind of indebted to him already by a lot, so I don't think any financial compensation would mean much to him. I hope. But I was speaking to him last week, and he was saying to me how he didn't think he could get up on stage and preach. And at the time, I didn't really think too much into it. I didn't really grapple with this. But over time, I realized that himself and many other people within this congregation, you do far more to expand the kingdom of God here on earth than I am doing stood here, or at least I believe. Now, don't get me wrong. I love speaking in church. I love to share the freedom that we all have in Christ. I love to discuss God. And I'm grateful that as someone who grew up pretty much introverted, I wasn't much of a public speaker at all. It's great to see that God has worked in me over time and he's given me this ability to speak to you all tonight. However, the work of such things as Alpha and Celebrate Recovery, Street Pastors, Ad Action, youth work in church, people that are involved in Sunday school, these people that are involved in such things and other things that I haven't mentioned, for me, they have more potential to show the love of Christ and the compassion many times over than this talk ever will. To be the feet of Christ and to be willing to walk into dark places, I mean, often scary places as well, that, for me, is a greater reality of Christ's resurrection than just speaking in church. So please, don't neglect what God has done through you and what he continues to do through you. But perhaps you hear me, but you're not fully listening. Again, I want to just say, God is doing great things in each one of you. And if he isn't, know that he can. Now, I've kind of got a flowing theme, I hope, for these slides. And the first kind of movement, the first theme, is called dip. To do with feet. As Andrew mentioned earlier, this morning we had a wonderful baptism. As always, it was such a privilege to see people like Dave and Anna getting baptized. And it made me think, well, I thought beforehand, wasn't on the spot, which is the first part that enters the pool? Now, for me, unless they like dived in head first, it made me think, obviously, the feet and the toes. And in Psalm 34, verse 8, the psalmist, there's a book called The Psalms, and they were written by predominantly David, I think, but I think a few other people added some. But in Psalm 34, verse 8, we're invited to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, the psalmist doesn't invite us to devour God yet. I mean, if you're a committed Christian or you love reading the Bible, feel free to get into his word and really eat it up. But he just says, taste. Like whether you've run a hot bath or you've just walked by a swimming pool, we all know that kind of tentative feeling of just like dipping your foot in and just testing the water, see what it's like. I know if you've got a baby, I think you're supposed to use your elbow. It's a bit more accurate. But like you would dip your toes or feet into a pool, I encourage you and invite you, dip yourself into something godly. Particularly if anyone here is slightly skeptical or you feel distant from God, now is as good a time as any to either pray for yourself or after the service, feel free to come and stand or sit down at the front row and people will be so eager to pray for you. And I just pray that you might ask that you could dip into something godly. But we'll get into that. For those that are a bit more spiritually mature, invite God to move in you, that you may move into a deeper relationship with him. A Lebanese poet and mystic called Khalil Gibran wrote a few poems and stories, and one of his quotes was, "When I love, do not say that God is in my heart, but rather say I am in the heart of God. Now, what do you think he means by this? For me, it almost makes us smaller in that God is not glorifying us, but we are glorifying God. God is always loving all the time. Whether you believe that or not, God is love. Everything that happens in the world at all times, God is there moving and loving, and all his actions are pure. So when we ourselves dip into something godly, when we ourselves share in that love with someone else, when we love our fellow people, we enter into the heart of God. We enter into this ongoing communion of love that is God at work here on earth. Now, I mentioned before that I saw a band, and this was at our Free Methodist conference down in Cornwall, and it's called Wellspring. And the youth had a talk from an American who was called Yana, and she commented on how British people would always respond to the question, "How are you?" with just a simple, "Oh, I'm fine, I'm okay," which is why I asked before how you're all doing. But really, deep down, if you think about it, how many of us are fine? How many of us are really okay? How many of us have troubles or problems that are just dwelling under the surface and that we quietly keep suppressed? We don't want people to worry. We don't want to make a fuss. So we just reply, "Oh, I'm fine." Perhaps you may blame God for these things. But I return to this issue of denying God's work in you, or the potential for God to work in you. If you don't embrace that freedom that you have to be who God calls you to be, then I don't think that it's much of a step to suggest that denying God's work through you is akin to denying God's work for you in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So maybe you are far from God tonight, or as the psalmist put it, God is far from you. Maybe you thought you were close to God, but one of these undercurrents, when I mention it, has kind of surfaced and you're a bit troubled now. Or perhaps you think that you're all you can be for God. There's nothing physically or spiritually, anything that you can do or give for him. I know personally, I often fall short, more times than I would like to admit. And I'm sure many others in here would admit as well. So such a feeling is probably a rarity, that we are all that we can be. So I encourage you, dip into God. Dip into that loving attitude that we can have. Dip into something new and exciting. Have we got any classical music lovers? Anyone that likes classical music? Not really. I just wanted to finish this little part with something about Johann Sebastian Bach. If any of you were familiar with his work, he finished every piece with a series of words. Anyone want to guess what they are? Anyone any idea? Not quite, but yeah. "For the glory of God." For me, this shows that Johann Sebastian Bach, what he was doing, he saw a deeper reason for his music. He enabled others to engage in that deeper reality of God. Everything he did, or the thing that he was primarily known for, was all for the glory of God. Now, my feet have brought me here. I might say unfortunately, but no, my feet have brought me here to speak to each one of you, and also to engage in conversations with our young people in Friday Night Live and in Bible study groups that I take part in. But I want to ask you the question, where might your feet lead you? Perhaps it's youth work, perhaps street pastors, or one of the many aspects that we have that are a ministry for God. That's the whole part of the excitement that we have when we engage in this community with God. Where will God guide your footsteps? Where will he work in you so that you can engage with other people? So again, where will God guide your footsteps? In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, it is written, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns." Now, every time we pass a homeless person on the street, do you stop and give him some time? Or do you kind of look away pretending that you've missed him and, oh, he's not there really? But they are. And perhaps you think, I haven't got any change to give him. But I want to just encourage you. Perhaps you can be the change. I do have a tongue, as many of you found out. I can offer some words of encouragement, or just a simple conversation could be such a blessing and a change in this person's life. Every time I fail to stand up for those that are persecuted, or those that I don't pray for when they persecute me, every time I don't shout out for the ones who have no voice, or a beautiful phrase I heard this week, every time we don't weep for those that have no more tears left to shed, every time we don't weep for those who have no more tears left to shed. Now, I'm going to admit, I find these things quite hard to do. To move out of my own little bubble and engage with people sometimes doesn't come naturally. But I'm reminded of an old Moroccan proverb that a ship in port is safe, but that is not what ships are made for. God challenges us. God calls us out to move out of our safe little port, our safe little bubble, and to ride those waves. And if any of you are adrenaline junkies or kind of thrill seekers, you might actually enjoy it. I actually strongly think that with God working in your life, whatever he calls you to do, you will probably enjoy. But all of these times that I withdraw from God, we deny ourselves not only our own abilities, but we deny God's ability to work through us. Jeremiah describes God as the fountain of living water. Don't pass out on this opportunity this week that you have, tomorrow, maybe later on this evening, but you will have an opportunity this week to dip yourself into something godly, to dip into that loving attitude to a fellow neighbor. And I urge you, don't miss out on it. But why am I so strongly encouraging you? Well, to move on to my second movement, which is called Tip. I like three-letter words. They don't get you far on Scrabble, though. The next kind of thought that came to mind about feet, and when I was thinking of the Holy Spirit working through us, was our tiptoes. And this came about for two reasons, really. Firstly, if you've ever been to a church service, or perhaps, like me, I was away at a Christian event last week called Wellspring, I also experienced such a thing through a project that we did as a church, where we did four outreach events into Preston. A group of the youth and adults went out into the community, and we helped a homeless shelter, and some of us helped elderly people look after their houses. Others went onto a park and did face painting, and the last group went and gave out bottles of water in town. When we as a church do things like this, it just gives myself, what I know others, a deep sense of community and a sense that the Holy Spirit is just with us as a church. But it's not just those times as a community. Perhaps God has challenged you or changed you on a personal level. If you were here last week, Andrew gave us a really challenging talk about forgiveness, about those that we find it difficult to forgive. And if you've ever been through such a process of forgiving, particularly those that have been really difficult to really open up your heart and let go of, if someone's hurt you deeply, the other side, that place where you enter into the forgiveness of the other person, seems so much brighter. The freedom of not being held in the debt of others or withholding another person's debt can be so liberating. Now I'm going to tell a short story, and then just want to ask how many of you might be able to relate to this. So picture a kitchen. Someone's just baked a cake, so there's that nice smell of cake mix wafting through the air. And there's a young child stood in the kitchen, and he's on the tips of his toes, he's peering over, and there's a counter with a cake on it. Now, for me, this is how I feel during times of witnessing God at work, not just in me individually, but as a community. We almost have that feeling of being on our tiptoes, of being raised up, and just having a small glimpse of something greater. We just get a tiny glance of something that is usually out of sight, but it's something of God at work. Now I want to ask you again, is that something that you wish to see? Do you want to see something greater at work? Would you like to see something exciting? There's a biblical character in the Old Testament, and he's called Moses. He's quite a prominent figure. Many of you may have heard of him. He led the slaves out of Egypt, and he longed to see God. And God said to Moses, "There's a place you can see me, but Moses must wait in a hole in a rock. God would cover this hole with his hand, and as he walked away, Moses would be able to see the back of God." And for me, I guess it's times where we see something greater at work, these times where we're almost on our tiptoes and we see that little glimpse of God at work in us as a community or in us independently. We get a small glimpse, a small idea of what Moses must have experienced when he just saw the back of God. Now, it may not be much, but even when God does something small, it's a million times greater than what we humans could achieve on our own. Secondly, as I mentioned earlier, I started a new job this week. And those of you who are fortunate enough to remember when you started your last job, those, if there are any teenagers here, those of you may remember starting school, you may remember starting college or university. Those first few days, those first few weeks, we're always so cautious. We're always on the ball and on the tips of your toes, so to speak. We're eager to do the right thing, both quickly and efficiently. So no matter whether you're getting married next weekend, whether you're moving into a new job, or life is pretty much the same today as it was last week, know that God is working through you, and he can work through you in such circumstances, that a new zeal, a new enthusiasm, but also that new heightened sense of awareness for yourself, but a heightened sense of awareness for your fellow neighbor, can flow forth through us. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 19, says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Will you enable God to do a new thing through you? Will you make yourself almost as vulnerable as you were on those first few days of your last job, on those first few days of school? Will you enable God to work through you, that you've got a heightened sense of awareness, an eagerness, a new passion to do the right thing? Now, my final movement I've titled Go Do. And of course, the final kind of aspect and most obvious thing that you would think of when it comes to one's feet is just the simple act of moving. Now, whether you've never thought about being proactive for God, and you want to get moving. Or perhaps you've been to church for 25, 30 years, and you've kind of grown weary, as we all do from time to time. Without action, without moving from this place and spreading the message of Jesus out into the world, not just through our voices, but through our actions, through who we are and what we do, then this past 20, 30 minutes or so has just been a waste of our time. To steal the words from a song that we will be singing after, I think, we must go, live to feed the hungry, and stand beside the broken. Now, I do pray that this has been an encouragement for you, but also a sense of challenge. The last thing that I aimed to do when I came up here was to put you all down. Christ says in Luke chapter 11, verse 46, he says to the Pharisees, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." And in Matthew 23, verse 13, Jesus says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who will enter to go in." And this evening, unfortunately, if you feel that this has been beyond a challenge and that I have put a burden on you too difficult to bear, that would be in reference to me. So I pray that this has been an encouragement, perhaps a small epiphany, that we all are a new creation, that God is doing something new, that God wants you on your tiptoes. He wants you to fulfill your potential. And because of that, each one of us should be excited. Because I do truly believe that it's God's desire to echo the words that I read from Scripture to you earlier. I do believe that God wants to say to each one of you in here, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased."